Blog Talk Radio.
We got a really good show for you guys today, and we have Miss Chantel McNabb, and this lady here is a powerful lady, and she's a lady of God. And but before I go any farther, I would love to bring your host on, Mr. Tommy Ray Cole. Mr. Tommy, go ahead.
Hello, everybody. And once again, we'd like to welcome you to the Uplifting Community Talk Show, Louisiana. We're thanking all our viewers for calling in. Get ready to press 1 when you have when you're ready to ask a question or make a comment. And today, once again, we have a very, very special guest, very talented young lady by the name of Mrs. Chantel McNabb. And before we go any further, we're going to ask Mrs. McNabb to tell us a little bit about herself, please.
Well, hello, everyone. It's a great pleasure to be on Uplifting the Community, which is a great thing, and that's my goal in life, is to uplift the community and bring God's people together. Again, I'm Chantel McNabb, pastor of the Sound Church in Lake Charles, Louisiana, where I co-pastor with my husband, Marcus McNabb. We've been doing this, working with church planters here for 5 years. I am a mother of four. I've been afforded the opportunity to have all of my children grown and gone out of the house, so that's a blessing. But it was a pleasure being a mother, so I'm a mother, a wife, a pastor, a community activist. That's basically who I am. I am for God's people, and my assignment in life and my passion in life is to help people to bring them to their destiny and discover who they are in this world, in this earth. I believe that every person on this earth has a purpose, has a divine call, something that God has given them specially, like that no one else can do it. No one can beat you at being you. So I have committed my life to being able to help the destiny of others come alive. They will spring forth and make our communities and make our nation and make our regions great. So that's who I am. Like I said, we are pastors. We have several community functions and community things that we do with the schools, with different age groups, and our goal is to make the church great again and to bring God's people together in one mind and one accord, unified, and I believe that that's what uplifts a great community and a great place to live.
Awesome, awesome, Mrs. McNabb. Now you say that you and your husband have been doing this ministry for about 5 years now, correct?
Yes, sir, we have.
Yeah, great, great. Now, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, I said we've been married a while, so we've been in ministry for all of our marriage, but we've actually moved here to Lake Charles. I'm from Lake Charles, was gone in Baton Rouge, and we actually moved here 6 years ago, and we actually planted our very own ministry here, but we've been in ministry our whole entire marriage, traveling and just doing great works and different mission works across the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, pastoring a church or a congregation, you know, I can imagine this guy has difficult times because you're having to deal with a different personality throughout the congregation. You know, everybody's somewhat different, you know. So tell us about that part, about dealing with other folk personalities in the church.
Absolutely. I believe that that's a challenge in everything that you do, especially when you have an effort to bring everyone together to unify with one vision. I believe that how we've effectively done that and a thing that keeps us focused and keeps us going, because everybody has different personalities, different insights, different way of doing things. And I believe that if we appreciate the authenticity of every person, that's unity. Sometimes we unify trying to clone everyone, make everyone look like us, talk like us, be like us, do what we want them to do. But I believe that that's not unity. That's simply being cloned. But I think the beauty of unification and being able to effectively lead a group of people, whether it's pastor or a company, is to appreciate the authenticity in each person and also keeping everyone focused on the vision, what we're there for. And I believe that that's been the success for these 5 years. And yes, we've had challenges because people come, people go. You know, everybody won't appreciate the vision or want to be a part of it, but you have to learn that that's okay. But God will send whatever you do in life, God will send whoever is supposed to be a part of that vision to you and be able to bring that vision to pass to do what it's said to do. But I believe with all of that's going on in ministry and pastoring and being church planners, the success of that is staying focused on the vision, the common goal, what we're here for, why God called us together, and then we'll get to our expected end, as opposed to entertaining all of the personalities and small things. We're taking all of who we are and staying focused on the vision.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Boy, I think you have to have a great faith to be a pastor over a church there, because you lead by,
that's right,
if you got that great Christian example, you know, folks are to follow. Now, me, I don't know if I have that much patience to be a pastor or something, because, hey, I mean, it really takes some strong faith, you know, because sometimes things aren't always going as planned, I'm sure.
That's right. They don't. And sometimes you want that ABC, you know, you want everything to go as planned. You set goals in place and then something happens, or someone decides to not be a part of it, or just sometimes just the challenges of planting. Because, for example, my husband and I, we started the church. We didn't have any grant money, any hidden money. We just started because we had a passion for people. So we just stepped out on faith, believing God that he would provide all that we needed, which I know that's crazy faith, and you have to have that kind of faith in God to do that, to start something from nothing. But we've seen through the 5 years, we started with zero. Not one person didn't know who was going to come there. We opened the doors on the just knowing our mission and our assignment to this earth, and God filled the church, filled the place. And so now we have directly touched over 400 people in this city that has been passed through, and we're seeing over 100 people every week, and that's from just stepping out. You know, that was a challenge to do that, but I know that if we know who we are and we understand what God has called us to do, whatever we set out to do, God will definitely give us the strength to carry it on.
That's not crazy faith. That's real faith. When you step out,
that's it.
And all your trust and all your faith is in God, that he's going to be there when those times
that's
come.
Right.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, also, too, what you see that's perhaps missing mostly in our communities of today?
I believe, and that's in almost every place that I've been, some worse than others, or some more of a challenge than others. But I believe it's really unity. And I know we use that word a lot and use it lightly, but I believe it's real unity, coming together to respect one another's mission, goals, bringing them together to create one healthy environment for the people. And so unity is a big thing. A lot, you know, working with people that may not look like you, may not talk like you, may not act like you, may not have the same values as you do, but still have the common goal of love, passion, and want to see people be successful in life. And so I think in every community, the biggest challenge we face is to unify unify the leaders of the community, and then also unifying the people to see us in one accord so that we can do something great for the city with a common goal and a common interest. So I think for every community, the challenge is to, you know, the unity, bringing people together and breaking down the borders of, you know, we don't do that, or we can't come there, or we don't do that. It's just breaking that down, that we can support one another, supporting one another with no agenda, no motive, you know, no undertones, but just genuinely supporting you because you're doing something positive, and I want to be a part of that.
Yes, wow. Yes, now, before we turn it over to Mr. John L. Brown, we just want to mention, just before we begin the show today, Mr. John L. Brown did mention, he said, you know, a lot of times we don't like dealing with folk because they're different from what we are, you know, and it tends to block us from having that unity that we really don't see their inside. And
that's
basically
right.
What John was saying. So, yeah, and you know, if we're not careful, we'll always disrupt that unity if we're not careful with people like
that. That's right.
And Mr. John.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that was some very, very powerful words that you just spoke in Ms. Chantel. Pastor Chantel. You have to excuse me, okay? I'm always saying Miss, but I want
to
address
okay.
you the right
all.
Way. You know, but it's one thing that I wanted to ask you. I see that, matter of fact, we plays your husband's song. Began in at a show, Louisiana, and
mm-hmm.
I thought it was a really good show because it's part Zydeco, it's part Christian,
mm-hmm.
it's part,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's a really upbeat, uplifting, you know, song. What made him, you know, come up with that song?
Well, my husband, he is an amazing, incredible, creative person. I would call him the life of the party all the time. He's the positive one. He's the faith pusher. He's the one full of joy. And so he's an excellent artist. He's been playing since he was 4 years old. He started in his grandfather's church playing on the drums, and he moved to keyboard. So he's been in the music industry. He's played quartet. He's done every genre of music you can think about. He's traveled all over the world. But his desire and his heart is to make people happy and to uplift the spirits of people through his music. So one day, I mean, literally, he told me this in a dream, and he was like, you know what, I'm going to do a Zydeco gospel. And I said, I mean, I laughed because I know that if he has an idea, he's going to go through with it. Goal was, I want to do something fun, something that will really lift the spirits of the people up and make them excited about being a Christian, number one, and make them excited about who they are, and just take them from a low place and lift their spirits up high. So he came up with it, and I snuck in one day while he was practicing recording, and I went live, and then from there, it just began to be explosive. And so I told him we got a new genre called Zaddy Praise, and we're excited about it. So his goal is to write music and to create sounds in the atmosphere that would literally uplift the hearts and the minds of the people. And you know that what we've just went through with all the tragic that's going on in different parts of the world, I believe that good music will actually enhance the atmosphere and the environment and cause people to be excited about life and living.
That's right. And you know, and the way I looked at it, when I first heard that song, I said, oh my God. And the way I looked at it was like, he's taking the people out of the clubs and bringing
That's
them
right.
to the church. What's
That's
the
right.
difference?
That's right. Uh-huh.
You know, you in a safe environment. You're in an environment
right.
with God's people. You can go
mm-hmm.
ahead on and praise God because people dance all the time in church. Let's face it.
That's right.
You know, you know, and it's the truth. They clap their hand, you know, and they move mm-hmm. move to side to side. And it's praising God. They're praising God.
Yes,
and
yes.
I thought that was a smart move. And that's
yes.
one of the ways I think, that's just me personally, I think
mm-hmm.
of getting people out of the clubs and bringing them to the church.
That's right. That's right. Because they can hear a sound. Like our church's name, the Sound Church. I believe that if you change your sound at times, and do it and release a sound that they can hear and they can understand and speak their language, they'll come.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay, now what I wanted to ask you explain to the audience, what are you guys are doing to uplift the people in your community?
Okay, well, let's start. I believe we're doing a lot, but I believe we have we've kind of narrowed down our, like I say, I always talk about our assignment, our mission. I say that a lot because I believe that everybody has something that they bring to the table that's unique, that maybe no one else can do it like you, but they can do something else that would enhance what you do. So one of the things that we've made an effort to do is to bring people in from all walks of life, age groups, and it's something that we call a threefold. It's something that we do with reaching back, reaching forward, and knowing who you are. That's the three generations bridging those gaps together. So we do that with one thing that we do inside of the church is to make sure that the experience on Sundays, it caters to every age group, every authenticity, I mean, every ethnicity. You can come in one day, you have this going and that going. So we have a diverse thing going on Sundays, which will help to enhance the community to bring them into worship. Because, again, like I said, I believe that the church has to become attractive again. Again, we have to be looked at upon as a resource and not just an existence in the community. So there's one great program that I just love so much that we've recently launched. It's called I Am the Solution. And what it is, it's a community organization that looks at whatever problem is going on in our community or surrounding areas, but basically in our city. Find the problem, what's happening at that moment, come up with a solution, and then invite the entire community to be a part of that solution. For example, we had a lot of people here. There was one thing we saw was a problem, and it wasn't addressed initially. We had a lot of people here from the storm that was living in. They had some in the shelters. That was fine. They were taken care of. But we missed a group of people that were living in the hotels. So I started inquiring and got connected to this one pastor from Texas that said, you know what, I just brought 300 people in to the hotels, and we have no food, we have no access to get any of the things from the shelters we're in the barn. So what I did was I just went on Facebook and did an all call. We started the I Am the Solution community organization, and I put an all call out there. I said, listen, I want to feed these people for 7 days. I want to get clothes, pampers. I want to do whatever it takes to meet. This is a problem in our community. We are the solution. Doesn't matter where you come from, who you are. Let's get together and solve the problem. Let's not talk about it and try to do things that's out of our reach, but let's solve immediate problems. So, and at the end of that whole entire, long story short, people from all over the community came together. We had so much of resources, we had to stop taking them, that we were able to feed over 300 people for 7 days. Started out with an idea, and people came from all over Lake Charles, Louisiana, and what I'm seeing from different cultures, different races, different churches. We just put it all down and dealt with the problem, and we were able to deliver. We had a service going every day. We had two meals going out to over 300 people in 9 hotels in this city. So that's one great thing that our church has done, is started this called I Am the Solution. We go into the community, finding the problem and pulling our resources together and say, let's just solve it, because we believe that you can talk about a lot of things and have a lot of ideas in your head, but unless you be the solution to those problems, you would just be merely a part of the problem. So I don't know, we can't do everything, and that's one thing I always say, but you can do something. And so that's our biggest thing that we're working now, is to keep that effort going. So whenever there's something going on, you know, when there's shootings going on, whatever the family needs, I've availed myself to do funerals. I know that people don't have insurance, and it's hard for them to get things done. So I'm there encouraging insurance, but worst case scenario, they don't have it. They don't have a pastor. I've made myself available to minister to that family and our church to come in and love on them and feed them. So just being the solution.
Wow.
Where's the problem in the community? Where are the problems? Let's be about it.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Lord Jesus, I mean, if that's not positive work in the community, I don't know what you would call it.
That is positive, very, very positive. Now, I like the way you you problem solve, you know, because you say you go into and you find out what's the problem, and then you come
right
up with a solution, and then you put something in order to be able to start solving those situations. Those, hey, that is beautiful, and you're very brilliant. If you don't mind me saying,
right.
Pastor Meg,
thank
very
you
brilliant.
So much.
But now you mentioned also culture. Now, culture, you know, sometimes folks over here, they'll do things like this, and they'll do things like that.
Uh-huh.
And then you guys may have guests or visitors that have come in, and they may not be familiar with you all's culture, that the way you guys worship services is set
mm-hmm.
up. Now, how you deal with situations like that, or even if someone that comes in and want to make your commit their fellowship to you all, and so they'll
mm-hmm.
come in, but then their culture is different than how you would actually bring folk in to teach them and show them that, well, you know, this is how things go here or whatever, you know, without causing any disturbance.
That's a great question, and I'm not just the greatest solution to that, because I believe when this is something that we deal with, and it's amazing that you say that, but we deal with that every week. But we found the key to that, and I believe the key to that is acceptance and love. Because eventually what a person's looking for, I believe they'll find some aspect of it in what you offer. It just may not be everything that they're used to, but it's something in that culture that they can identify with. So the thing is loving them through the process so they can find where they belong and they can start being. And I believe that the key thing is real love. If you love, it doesn't matter what color, what you like, if you have real love in your heart, not one person, no matter what their taste is or their appetite is, if you have real love, that would draw them. And I've did a poll in the ministry just asking, what brought you here? What made you stay here? You know, we have older people, young people, we have teenagers, children. So how do we all get together? What makes us gel? And the first thing they answer is because it didn't matter about who I was or what you was. We felt the love of Jesus when we walked in the place. And for that reason, because of what we felt, that love, we was willing to stay and see what it was all about, and even willing to buy into some of the different things that you do here, because we did bring in a lot of different forms of, you know, different types of worship, and, you know, bringing in a more radical take on services and kind of moving away from traditional things. And then there's some Sundays we bring it all back. We may throw a hymn out and do. We just believe in diversity so that we won't get caught up in discriminating one's way to do things or how you don't do things. So that's what I believe we've done. And to solve the solution is to love people for real, for who they are, and they'll find their place in your life.
Very good, very good. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, Mr. Brown.
Yeah, I mean, that's beautiful. That's very well said. You know, planning on doing for the future?
Well, we have some other great things going on. And something else that we do, and that is kind of going back to that culture shock thing, we actually just did a concert called Culture Shock. And in Culture Shock, we had every genre of gospel music. We had rap, quartet, contemporary, side of praise. We had all of that under one roof, and it was so amazing. We could literally feel the resistance at first because it was such a shock. End of it, we saw all walks of life just coming together and enjoy one another. But as far as our ministries, there's another effort that we do coming up. One effort we do is called Feet on Fleek, and that's where it was actually a young lady that started from an idea again, a problem. She talked about, you know, her scene. She worked at an apartment complex, that there's a lot of kids that struggle with getting shoes for school and really good shoes, name brand shoes. Because truth of the matter is, bullying is real. When you don't have what you need as a child, it hurts for you to go to school lacking or under, you know, beneath what it is that you want to wear. So she started from her heart, just started collecting brand new shoes, name brand shoes. And her first year doing it, she called it Feet on Fleek, and she was able to put 100 pair of name brand shoes on children in the community. So we're going to keep that effort.
Wow.
Next year. We're going to boost it up. We want to do 200 pair. And these were Jordans and Nikes. We didn't take any off-brand shoes. And when I tell you, people from the community donated, the families came. We didn't make it a big you know, process for you to get it. You came in, you had a need, the shoe was there, you put it on your child's feet and you moved. So moving into the Christmas season, we're going to do Toys on Fleek. So we're going to do the same thing. We're going to get, you know, collect toys and bring them into families that are less fortunate. And so that's the two big programs that we have every year that we do, Feed on Fleek and Toys on Fleek. We're going to do those to make sure that we're helping with the economic problems that families may be facing during the holidays and during school times. And, again, just being that solution. Inside of our walls, but going outside of our walls, we have small group empowerment for every type of family. If you're married, if you're single, if you're a young adult, if you're a leader, we have all those small groups available, and they're open to the community to come in and get some knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to make your life better. Because if we don't take the Bible and make it applicable for our life, we'll just be reading off the pages, but actually not allowing that word to be active and alive in our lives and actually helping us to live the good kingdom life that God ordained.
Wow.
Pastor McNabb, you all are doing a great work in the community, man. Hey, it's up to you guys. Hats off and everything, man. Hey, you're really doing an outstanding job there. And, you know, for good works to work, you know, you have to have a team. So I'm sure you got some great supporters sitting there. Awesome.
Absolutely. We couldn't do anything without our team. I promise you. We have an amazing, and I always tell them every day, people don't have to follow you. That's a choice. So when they do, we take really good care of them and appreciate what they do, because we can't do this on our own. There's no way possible. But it comes from the support, the love, and the willingness from the people that we're surrounded by. And even in this community, we have problems, but there's some great people in this community, like Mr. Kerry Chavis. He's one of our great supporters. We love him so much. Different people in the community have done a great, great job at supporting one another. And so that's what it's about.
Amen. I wanted to say something about Tommy, and then I'm going to ask Tommy to start closing us out. I just wanted to let you know, Miss Pastor McNabb, that Tommy, your host for Louisiana, he's been in lots of movies. Okay, he's an actor. Also, he has a stage play that's coming out, and it's called Broken Trust. This is the second Broken Trust that he did in Louisiana, and I would love for you guys to hook up. Because he, you know,
absolutely,
and support him also. Okay?
Yes.
And and with that said, Tommy, start closing us out.
Okay. Pastor McNabb, really thank you for coming up on the Uplifting Community Talk Show Louisiana. We're glad to have you. And you and your husband are definitely doing a great job in the community. And we're going to encourage you all to continue to do that great work. Sometimes it gets rough, but don't you give
That's
up.
Right.
Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we want to thank all our visitors and our viewers for listening in. And be sure to keep listening in and keep doing good work in the community, because next time it may be you on this show. Now, with that said, Pastor McNabb, we're going to ask you to leave us with a positive thought.
Yes, I want to encourage everybody today, and even if you're in Lake Charles, Louisiana, you can reach us. We're here at the Sound Church at 315 North Gospel Boulevard in Lake Charles, Louisiana. I want to encourage everyone that's listening today to be the real you, be the unique you, that you have something on the inside of you to offer to someone, no matter how small and insignificant you think it may be. It's great to God. So I want to encourage everyone to stand in what God has uniquely designed you to be. Operate in love to every person that you come in contact with, and watch God do great things in our community.
All right. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us at the Uplift Louisiana Talk Show. And I tell you, this was a really great talk show today. And I tell you, we had a really good time. And thank you, and good night.
Thank you. Good night. keep tuning in.